I've go back to checking the mic. Last week it didn't. We didn't get the second part of the lesson, so that might have been my fault. But anyway, I want to try to make sure that we do get these lessons online. Appreciate Roger's lesson this morning. Appreciate you being here. And thank you so much for your encouragement to me and to all those that try to teach God's Word. As we've always talked about, of course, our whole aim in life and our goal in life should be to do what God wants us to do. I want to continue to remember Gina. She'll be starting with her chemo soon, and I may have this incorrect. You can talk to her about it, but I believe it's 6 treatments, and there'll be 3-week spans in between. So I want to remember her. Also want to remember Debbie and her family, certainly over the loss of her brother. Was, as always, devastating to us when we lose someone we care about. And also want to remember Travis and Julie, and most of you probably got that email, but that doesn't mean that God didn't answer the prayer, and He won't continue to answer that prayer. He certainly did, and we hate that they lost the child, but they're still, with that in mind, they can still have children, and so let's remember them as well. Talking this morning, and Roger had chose the song number 432 as How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts, I just kind of changed a little bit and said, since we're going to be talking about us old people, we need to talk about heart security. That there's something about our heart we need to keep secure. And I thought about Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And the reason I always love the Psalms, especially David's, probably more so, just reminds me of me, an imperfect man, a man who certainly was trying in life, but he understood that it was God that searches the hearts and knows the hearts. One thing about the heart that we can know about it, looking through the Bible, that there's some things certainly that are there that we can understand from God's Word that might be, again, a little bit different from the way other people look at it. A lot of young people aren't interested in securing their hearts. They don't even concern themselves with it at all. They don't even think about it. But the verse 3 says, Thy Word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age and well support our age. Not just starting out good, but you better finish well is what he's saying. It'll continue to support you throughout your whole life. And that's what you need to understand and know. Don't start well, it probably is not going to end well for you. But sometimes people don't start well and then they finish well because they get to make those choices. But we need to be concerned about that. We need to understand that. The heart, as it's usually used in the Bible, it's not that that pumps the blood, as Roger talked about. Even though we might think that sometimes, because when we get excited or something happens, the old heart that pumps the blood just starts pumping crazily. But the reason it does has nothing to do with it. It's reacting to what this does. As someone once said, today if you'll just think about from my neck up, you'll understand where all of this comes from. It's centered here. But it controls everything about us. Sometimes the word heart is used in the Bible is, as Roger said, just limited to the emotional part of us. And the reason he breaks that down is because we do feel it here and we can understand that. We can know that there's some emotions involved. And if our emotions drive us completely, we're going to have some major problems because the mind, it has the intellect, it has knowledge, it has reason, it has emotions, it has memory. And it also controls our other functions, and sometimes it's not that we even control them. Like, I do not send a signal to my heart thinking about it. God set that up where it automatically does that. And my heart beats all the time, not because I have to mentally think about it. So I'm glad, because I think of all the things I was thinking back there earlier that's crammed in my mind, I'm wondering how I would deal with that. So how can we continue to secure our hearts? Let's say we've started well. Let's say as a young person you started. Well, in the song, How Shall the Young Secure Their Heart, the last verse says, God's everlasting truth will support our age. Not only must the young secure their heart, but we must continue to do so if we expect to overcome Satan and all the temptations in the world. And he would say, Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. Remember, talking about the perfect one who can shoot the target perfectly? Well, that's Jesus. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There is a promise out there. There is something that you will receive if you can keep your heart secure. And how do we continue it? By doing that. And that's found in Hebrews 10, 19 through 23. So when we look at this and we think about it, we can certainly understand that we need to do all these things. We'll do a summary up front. You ever, when you're young, thinking about, oh, I'm sure Katie thinks about this all the time, and I just know Andrew does. He's thinking right now, I need to invest. You know, I need to take my money and invest it in something because I've got to think about this. If I don't do that now, because that was on my mind all the time when I was young, you know, and my first thought was when I got a job, I can hardly wait till I can take some of this money and put it away. Isn't that what you thought about? Sure. Or maybe you thought, I need to plan for the future. You know, I mean, I might not be able to take a vacation this year because I've got to think down the road. And I've got to consider and I've got to think, well, you know, there's going to come a time when I'm really going to need that vacation because I'm going to be old one day. You think about that? Or maybe you thought, I need to start now getting ready for retirement. Right? I mean, Katie's back there, she's giving me a frown right now. She's like, what? Are you kidding me? Maybe you should be thinking about retirement, but I'm not thinking about retirement right now. You see, no. But our problem is, how shall the young secure their heart? Spiritually, every one of these are important. You will not find, and there's some money folks in this room. I'm talking about people that actually have it, not me. No, I'm talking about people that know about money. And they will tell you, you need to do these things. You ever attended something and they'll say, you better do this, you better do this, you better do this, Abe. And there's people actually smart enough to do this when they're young. That's surprising, isn't it? That they would think about that. Investing in the right assets, though. Let's think spiritual for a moment. You want to invest in some right assets? We need to maintain our love for God. You young people, when we're talking about love for God, it's not some emotional attachment that you have to a being you've never met. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about in Matthew 22, 37 and 38. You want to know what the greatest commandment is? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Oh, that doesn't end, though, when you start that at youth. Today, I need to do that even more. With all my heart, my soul, and my mind, he said. That's what you need to do. If you want to invest in a good asset, get your emotions right. Get your mind centered right. I will tell you this. If you let your emotions guide you in investing in money, ask me how well I've done with that. My emotions have gotten me in trouble every time. I'm perfect at it. I don't know about the rest of you, but what little I had, my emotions got in the way and I put it in the wrong time and I took it out the right... Nope, wrong time. What happens? Emotions. My intellect said something else, but my emotions drove me. In this case, we better be letting this drive us. We better understand and know that we need to be following God. This is the first and great commandment. Young people, I'm going to tell you what. You put this first in your life and everything else will take care of itself. You're investing in the right asset. It's all of our hearts. That word there, from the Greek, is thoughts and feelings. My thoughts and feelings are centered toward God. Everything that I do is centered toward God. Even when I'm considering money, it's centered toward God. All my soul, that's my breath and spirit. That's what Roger was talking about, that inner person. Oh, it's not what we're talking about. It's the inner person. What's going to actually leave my body? I can't see it. But it's what animates me and it's what makes me alive. And all my minds, that's my understanding and imagination, and everything has to be controlled by God. Jesus tells us how. This is going to be a very simple day, John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. No, you don't have to say, literally, I'm coming up and hugging you, Jesus. You just keep his commandments. Not just maintain our love, but maintain our love for fellow humans. The second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you care about yourself, you take care of yourself. If you don't care about yourself, you let yourself go. And if you're letting yourself go, you're not caring about someone else. John tells us how again. In 1 John 3, he says, you know, if you truly say you love your brother, then you can't hate him. And not just that, but you'll lay down your life for him. In other words, you have a sacrificial way of life that, you know, the Andrews and the Jameses and the Lilies, they'll learn sacrificial life. They'll learn they need to be there for their fellow people in life. They'll learn that it says if you have some goods and you see that your neighbor doesn't, well, you're going to hoard your things and you're going to say he should have done better. No, you're not. You're going to help them out. In 1 John 5, he sums it up this way in talking about both God and our fellow man. We can't say we love God unless we do this. By this we know that we love, in verse 2, the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. He said, you can prove that you love your fellow man when you keep the commandments. Does He give us things from His Word and tell us how to deal with other people? He absolutely does. And if I'm not that type of a person, young or old, I'm not going to make it. But I need to continue in my service to God. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, this is an interesting passage of Scripture. This is concerning Solomon. Now, Solomon had asked for some things, certainly, but when we look at this and we look at David talking to him, in verse 9, he talks about his son. And I think this is the most beautiful thing. If I were passing something on to my children, what would I pass on to them? As for you, my son Solomon, invest wisely. Make sure you have plenty of things. Ask Solomon how well that worked out for him in Ecclesiastes. Ask him how well having things worked out for him. He didn't follow or heed his father's advice. Know the God of your father. Serve Him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the heart. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. Serve Him, Solomon, all the days of your life. Put Him first. But don't just do it. Do it with a loyal heart, with both your feelings and your intellect. Don't just say you're going to do it. Young people, listen. There's nothing in life that I can give you better advice about right now than to start right. And all of us old geezers, listen. We need to make sure we're staying right. Because one day we're going to answer to God. And we're getting closer to that if things work out naturally than most in this room. But a willing mind. This is just, the mind is it's just like a breathing creature. It has to be every part of us wanting to do it. Apostles are example. In Acts 4, they said, I want you to note this. I think it is such a beautiful passage about service and who we owe our servitude to. It's God. We owe Him everything. Why wouldn't we want to serve Him? He's given us life, breath, and everything that we have. Everything we'll ever be. I want to invest in that. In verse 23, here they had been brought before, they'd been beaten, and here they're leaving. And what's the first thing they do? They get all upset and say, we're quitting, right? No, they pray to God right away. And they talk about servants. And they talk about, first of all, the servant David. And they say what he did. And then they talk about your holy servant Jesus. Service. Servants. Serving God. And serving our fellow man. Then they say, well, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants, us. We're trying. We're putting it in the right place. We're investing properly in the right assets, Father. Please, we're trying our best to serve you and help our fellow man. But keep the law and teach it to our children. Deuteronomy 4, he talks about that and he says, you need to keep it, number one. Then you need to teach it, number two. I'll tell you, it's kind of discouraging to me. I don't know how many parents, I've heard, blame it on everybody else that their children aren't doing well. I'm going to tell you where the blame starts with us. Parents have the responsibility. In Deuteronomy 4, he said, teach it. Well, how often? All the time. All the time. Well, wait, you know, I've got other things to do. In doing those things, you better be teaching. There should not be one aspect of our life. Now, ask me if I was perfect in this. No. Made plenty of mistakes. Again, prayed to God always, forgive me. He didn't want them to depart from their heart. He wanted them to prepare their children's hearts for the future. Children, you have no excuse now. If you're of an age where you need to be obedient to God, you can't look to your parents and say, it's your fault. No. It'll be yours. At some point in life, you're going to take responsibility. You have the ability to do so. You have the heart and mind to do it. John tells us how to keep the Word in our heart. In 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6, now by this we know that we know Him. How? If we keep His commandments. Young people, if you don't start keeping them now, it gets more difficult. So we're going to use the very last passage when we finish this. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in Him. But whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in Him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says He abides in Him ought all himself ought to walk as He walked. That's how you do it. Prove it. Get in your heart. Prove it. Do God's will. And Paul tells us how to prepare our children. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As we get older, see, we first had responsibility for self. Now we have responsibility for some other young hearts and minds. And then, guess what happens to them, as Roger said? They then have responsibility for self. And they're going to, if they have families, be responsible for them. And when you're responsible for someone else, when that little baby comes into this world and that responsibility comes with that child, you can't shirk it. You can't put it away. You can't give it to someone else. You want to invest so that your children are the children of the future doing what they need to do is right. And then we need to maintain our happiness. And no, Debbie, this is not just for you. She'll accuse me afterwards when I say this. Proverbs 17:22. One passage. I'm being very minimal today with these verses. A merry heart does good like medicine. Truth is, it does. What they find is that happy people heal better. It is an amazing thing. It's scientifically proven. Oh, didn't need to be, did it? God said it. But it is such a beautiful thing, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So, how do we do it? Philippians 4 again. Rejoice always in the Lord, he said. Always. And then he said, you know, you're going to have your situations and your problems and things when they come up. And just like David said, my anxieties, you know them, Father. Well, when they come up, what do? Well, you just get down. You just don't do anything. No. That's not what he said. But be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. But that's not all. The peace of God, then, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. But that's not all. Finally, brethren, so you got a mind full of bad things, right? Here's what you do. Get them out of there. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Doesn't it remind you of Roger's lesson earlier when he brought out those scriptures about what we do? What do we put in our minds? Whatsoever things are lovely, our hearts are be filled with these things. Whatsoever things are of bad report. Good report. Good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, anything that's good, meditate on that, he said. Wow. No, you know, God, I just have so many bad things in life. I don't have time for that. He said, no, you don't. And if you don't, you're investing improperly. And when you invest improperly, things aren't going to work out too well for you. So as we look at these things, we need to do them. But then planning for the future. Putting our treasures in the right place. I'm good at this too. You know, I mean, that mutual fund looked mighty fine, and I didn't really invest in stocks because I knew I was going to get in trouble on that. So I just did it through mutual funds because I trusted those people, right? And they told me this is good, Abe. I mean, put your $5 here and you probably have $7 at some point in the future. And they made all these promises and they said, you'll do really well. Plan, Abe. Plan for your future. Ask me how well that worked out. I'm hoping I'm doing better with this. I'm hoping that I started young with this. And I know I've had my problems along the way. But I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't trade it for anything. My time invested in God is worth everything to me. My planning right, I hope I'm doing it right. Because I'm going to tell you, if it's dependent on the physical things in life, then I'm going to leave a lot of debt. If it's dependent on the spiritual things in life, I'm going to leave without debt. Without debt. How would you like to know that it's all paid for? You don't owe anything, Abe. If you plan right, he said. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Matthew 6, starting verse 19. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. Oh, I don't have to worry about it anymore. You see, it can't be taken away from me. I don't have to worry about a thief coming in and taking my future away from me. I have a future in heaven for sure. Remember that song? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now here's the key, young people. If the things of this life mean so much to you that you cannot concentrate on the spiritual things, you've got a major problem. And if you start your life like that, it's going to be hard to change. Start it right. The lamp of the body is the eye, therefore your eye is good. Your whole body will be full of light, but the light of your eyes bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. You want darkness? Just don't put your treasures in the right place. You know, feed your physical body. You just put everything you've got, invest everything you have, plan for the future of this physical body. We talked last week about people wanting to live on this life forever. Not going to happen. You can't serve two masters. For you, you'll love the one and hate the other. Or despise the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and riches. You can't do it. You've got to make a choice. Not on earth. It's not where it is. It's in heaven. I have security. I'm planning for my future. Our heart is with our treasure. Is my heart in heaven or is my heart here on earth? An eye that is good and our body will be full of light, as Roger again talked about earlier. And Paul tells us where those treasures are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, remember the last verse of the song again. You want to put your treasure in the right place? You want to plan for the future? Read the guide for the future. That's what he says. And he says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He said, here we are just mere humans, and God has put this wonderful treasure in there. A treasure that allows you to plan for the future and get your priorities right and put them in the right place. That is the excellence of the power of God and not in us. To think that God, he said, would put that in a human being to know how to do this and to have this treasure. But we need to renew our inner person. In 2 Corinthians 4, he talks about, starting in verse 16, that we lose heart. He said, but don't do that. The outward man's perishing, but the inward man should be renewed day by day. For our light renewed day by day. But my body's getting old. It hurts. That's all he's talking about. It's a renewal of what's going to leave this life. Every day I can bring that out fresh one more time. When I look into God's Word, I get so excited, don't you? I find things in there and I go, wow, what a treasure. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to think about. And all I have to do to renew it is just to get into God's Word. That's how I renew my inner person. Knowing that one day, this is going to die. Oh, you're sitting back there again and you're thinking, wow. Adam's thinking, yeah, with him, sure. No, Adam, got to tell you, you just get older every day. I was your age once. I know that surprises you, but I was. And what happens with this old body, it's getting older and older and older. That's okay. See, it's okay with me because we know that if our earthly house, this tent's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You want it? You want to think about the future? He said, we don't want to be unclothed. We want to be further clothed. And that's what we're looking forward to. to keep from losing heart. We're making our hearts secure. We're looking for the eternal. We're looking for something that's permanent, not that's temporary, that gives me a little bit of health right now, but gives me spiritual health for eternity. Paul tells us how. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Clearly, we need to do some things in life. Clearly, we need to make some changes. Clearly, we need to start turning toward God. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Doesn't that sum up a lot of what we've been talking about? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How can I renew my mind? Stay in the old filth of this world? No, every time I get into that, it doesn't renew my mind. It drags my mind down. How do I renew my mind? I get into God's Word, that you may prove. What does that? God's Word, that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And in keeping our heart clean. I won't go into this one very much because Roger talked about this being kept clean. And in the 51st Psalm 9 and 10, he says, hide your face from my sins. Blot out all of my iniquities. Young people, middle age, older people, get sin out of your life. That's what he says. Blot them out. I know of sin. Keep blotting it out. Keep praying to God. Create in me a new clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Constantly asking God's forgiveness. Allowing God to create in us a pure, clean heart. He won't do that on His own. I have to work toward it. And then renewing a steadfast spirit. John tells us how in John 15. Where Jesus would say, I'm the good shepherd. Now you got a choice in this. You can follow the good shepherd or you can go your own way. But if you follow me, things are going to be well. Excuse me. I got the wrong one. True vine. We have to abide in the vine. And if we abide in this vine, he said, now I want to just pick verse 3 because I would encourage you to go back and read this. You are already clean. How? Through the Word that I've spoken to you. You want cleanliness? Spiritual cleanliness? The only way to get it is through the Word. Plan for the future. Get the dirt out. Don't approach God that way. And last but not least, ready for retirement or rest. Oh man, I'm ready. I've been wanting to retire for years. It's just one of those things, you know, I just can hardly wait. Probably never going to happen in this life. Not like that. I need to establish my heart. I need to think. Now, I think James 5 is talking about a whole different situation for those people, but let's just... It doesn't matter because it doesn't matter when that occurs, you see, this when we're going to see God. It doesn't really matter. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. Establish them. Get them right where they need to be for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, I will tell you this as young people. Philip, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your age is. Death can come. I don't mean to scare you, but I want to scare you. James, doesn't matter. You're thinking I'm young. I see a lot of older people passing from life. But yeah, read the paper. There's a lot of young people don't make it either. You better get your heart established now. No matter our age, you better keep it established. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You know, he talks about the farmer, and I didn't use verse 7, but we need to have some patience. Wait. I know I'm going to get a day of rest. I know it's eternal rest. He promised that. I'm going to ask you a question. Ask young people, middle-aged and older, this question. If you had someone in the financial world that could promise you that at your retirement age, whatever you might choose, that they could give you, if you just give them a little bit, every dime you would ever need in life. Would you believe them? Cody said no. He's smart. No. But we have a written guarantee from the Holy Spirit. This is real. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to concern myself with it. I have a day of rest coming. But he said, you better not let your heart get hardened. See, what happens to some of us older people? We get hardened to things. We think we've done it. Those Israelites got hardened to it. And I'm going to tell you, they died in the wilderness. They didn't get into that first rest. And he simply says, in Hebrews 4, verse 7, again he designates a certain day, talking about them entering into that rest in Canaan. Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now what's the discussion here? Well, they didn't hear Him. They didn't pay attention to Him. As a matter of fact, it wasn't mixed with faith. The word wasn't in verse 2. Because there is a rest that remains for His children. And that's our last one. And I'm going to read this one. You want something? This is it. You want retirement? Nothing better. The price has already been paid for it. Jesus gave of His life for it. I have a written agreement, a promise from the Holy Spirit that I can receive this if I'll do all the things that He's told me to do. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again, in that place, they shall not enter My rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. And it puts a smile on my face to think that one day I can rest from all my labors and my works will follow me. And I trust in Him to give me that rest. All not on the basis of my goodness, but on the basis of trying to do what He said and making preparation and doing and investing in the right things. So if I have done all these things, I've invested in the right assets, I've planned for the future, then I'm ready for retirement. And the only way I can get there is to keep doing it. To secure our hearts, we must invest in the right treasures, plan for our future, and then be ready for that retirement or rest. Too many people start well, but they finish badly. Paul warned the Christians at Galatia about this. Young people need to get their hearts right with God. He said, you started well. What did hinder you from continuing to obey the gospel? Solomon makes this point in Ecclesiastes 12:1. In Ecclesiastes 11, the last part of it, he said, young people, enjoy your lives, but for all this, don't forget God. Because now, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. You harden your hearts, this last part will be true. And then, how are you going to answer to God when it's all said and done? Because every one of us will reach that judgment seat. As we get older, we must work hard to keep ourselves in His Word, keep our faith strong, and demonstrate our happiness to others because of our trust in God. You know, you go around looking like, wow, this is the worst life in the world, and people are going to go, I don't want that life. Do you trust God today? If you do, if you believe this, what I've just said today, start today. Believe on the One who died for you. Repent. Confess Jesus as the Christ and be immersed in water for the remission of sins. And as a Christian, repent and pray for forgiveness today if you've lost your perspective. Get back into it. How do we expect the next generation to trust in God when we don't show it in our lives? We're going to stand and sing a song. Love to help you in any way I possibly can. My part of it is just to assist. Christ is taking care of everything. He's paid the debt for you. Just take care of it and make sure you do it according to His will. I don't know what I just hit something on that, but it's okay. It went blank. Please stand. We're going to sing a song. Please, today, be obedient to Him.